So today we'll be continuing our series on where we're exploring the different ways God has gifted his church through the Spirit to serve him and to build up the church. So today we're going to be looking at how God has given us as humans creativity. Now, the gift of creativity is not something that we see in the list of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. But it is still a gift that God gives us and calls us to use for his service. So the word create is defined in Webster's dictionary as to produce through imaginative skill. The first action that we see in the Bible, in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Because God is the only one that has existed before anything else existed. God is the source of all creation. And in Genesis 1:1, we see the word used there for create is only used with God as the subject. The Hebrew word there is bara. And that word is only used with God as the one who is doing that action. God is the only one who can create something out of nothing. But as part of God's creation, we can still create in a way. When we create, we are taking what God has already formed around us, what God has already given us, and shaping it into something new. We're acting imaginatively and transformatively on what God has already given to us. Now, it's not hard to see God's creativity in our universe. His glory is shown through his creation. We see that in Romans chapter 1. God had no reference point on where to start. He was the only thing that existed, but he created everything that we see. He created the vast expanse of all the planets and stars and our moon when you look up at the sky. He created the intricate details of atomic structures, and he holds them together actively in a way that science still struggles to understand. He created the beautiful complexity and diversity of life. He made all the plants and animals and bacteria and people. God's creativity is shown through the world around us. Now, when God created the world, the pinnacle of his creation was man. He created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. And when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them authority to rule over creation and to subdue it. Now, he didn't give them specific instructions on every single step of how to do that, but he left decisions to them. We see the first job that God gave Adam was a creative job. He told him to name all of the animals. And God didn't tell Adam, okay, you need to name this animal this and this animal that and name this animal this. God said, Adam, you name the animals. And Adam, he named the animals. So it was a creative job that God gave him. God delegated that job to Adam, gave him the ability to choose in making the names. Now we're looking at creativity in God's creation. The Garden of Eden did not stay perfect. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered the world. And with sin came a corruption to creation, came a corruption to man's heart. And we see that the creativity that God created as good was turned towards selfish ends. It was turned towards sinful ends. Something that was created to glorify God was turned so that now it's used for evil. But that's the thing, is that creativity is a good thing, but it can be used for evil if it's used towards sinful ends. Our imaginations and make decisions in a way that glorifies God and stewards his creation well. And there's many places that God calls us to creativity, and he calls us to offer our creativity in service to him. So today we're going to be looking at different ways in Scripture that God calls his people to use their creativity in ways that glorify him. So the first place that we're going to be looking at in Scripture is Exodus chapter 31, 1 through 6. And I feel like this passage is just with our sermon today, this passage is the passage today that really spoke to me the most, and that just shows me so clearly how God can just directly gift his people with creativity in order to glorify him. So if y'all can please stand, we're going to read Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Shemeshach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. In this passage here, in Exodus chapter 31, we're seeing how God is giving the Israelites skill to work out their trades in a way that glorifies him. They're building the tabernacle and all of the articles that go inside of it. And all of these things are part of the Israelites' system of worship for God that God had given them. So God, he has placed us in a physical world. We have physical bodies and we have physical needs. We need food, clothing, and shelter. And God gives some people the ability to see a pile of lumber and building materials and to envision a house and to see that project come to completion. You can offer your trade as a gift to God. And you can embrace the creativity that it takes to build things and offer that as a gift to God's service. It's not just in being serving in front of the church as like a pastor or elder that you can serve God, but you can serve God as an electrician. You can serve God as a vet. You can serve God as a contractor. All of these are ways that you can glorify God through the trades. And one of the places that I see God doing this in our church is Dean. He's preparing the crafts for Bible school. God has given him the ability to make things and build things, and he's offering that gift to God to be used in service of the church and God and the vision that he's given us. Another place that I've seen people using their creativity and their skill and their trade to serve God is Chad has told us about somebody that he knows that they have a ministry where they fix cars for families that need help. And he's a mechanic, but he fixes cars for families that need help. And also, actually, Blanca did a mechanic class with Votech, and she ended up working on one of those cars. So she was part of that ministry without even like knowing that connection was there. So God is already doing this in our church. And this is something that glorifies him, is when we use our creativity, when we use the skills that he's given us in a way that is pointing towards him and is glorifying him. Another place that I saw this like very clearly, somebody using their trade as a way to glorify God, was when we were working with Samaritan's Purse on the sabbatical. Sterling and I went and worked on houses where they're rebuilding houses for people where there were natural disasters at. And in that process, we worked with different contractors and people that like are there all the time working on the houses that were like in charge of the work sites. And they had a very close like attention to detail when they were working on the houses. And like if you dropped one drop of paint, you're like, you gotta wipe that up. Or like they didn't cut any corners. Like, we need to make this house like in the best shape that we can make it. And at first I was like, does it really matter if there's like one drop of paint on the floor? Like, are they really even gonna notice it? But then he explained to me like Samaritan's Purse's mindset behind it, and they're like, we want to do our best work because when we're out here working, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. And we want to set an example of the excellence and the care that God has in the work that we do. And that just reminded me of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. So when we are doing even physical work, that's something that can be glorifying to God. Another area that we can use the creativity that God has given us is in the arts. And we see that in Scripture, God made the world to be full of beauty. He didn't just make the world something that is practical and functional, but he made it so it's beautiful, it's full of life, it's full of diversity. And one of the clear areas that we see that is in music. And if you just go outside, you can hear God's music that he created. You can hear the birds singing, you can hear the creek flowing, you can hear the wind blowing through the trees. And God made us as humans. This is something I personally find amazing, just seeing how God made us with the ability to like hear music and like appreciate it to the point where like different vibrations of sound can like bring up emotion inside of you. That's just like amazing how God made us to be able to appreciate music in that way. And music has a big part in God's word. We see that the Psalms have the most chapters in the Bible. There's so many songs that God has given us that we can give back to him. And it's music and poetry. There's a whole genre in the Old Testament of the poetic books, which is like Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. Like, that's Hebrew poetry that God has given us to, that glorifies him, that shows his character, shows who he is. And it's not just in the Old Testament either. In the New Testament, we see the early church, they sang hymns together to God. So God made us to enjoy creation too. He made worship of him something that we can enjoy and do with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not just one part of yourself, but it's your whole self that you're offering to God in worship. And we can also see in the Exodus 31 chapter, where even like visual art, where the craftsmen that were working on the tabernacle, they went to great lengths to make all of the tapestries, the garments, everything in a way that is visually appealing and showing God's glory. Now, our culture has taken the arts and twisted them to evil ends. We see where there's a lot of music that is a lot of depraved songs, pictures, TV programs, and movies. And that's where people have taken a creativity and turned it against God, against God's purposes and against his character. But God has given us music as a good gift that we can offer back to him. And I see our church walking in this, offering our gifts of creativity to God in these ways in the arts. And we don't have to look further than our worship team up here this Sunday. We have so many people in our church who are gifted musically, and that's something that they're able to offer to God, and that's building up the church. They're leading the whole congregation in worship. And it's not something where it's just they're up here performing and we're down there listening, but they're leading the church in worship, and the whole church is following and offering God our praises. And I always just find it beautiful whenever we have the hymn Sundays and we can hear all the different parts of everyone. Every single voice is offering their gift of worship to God together. And there's different parts in the harmony, but all of them work together to build a beautiful song. And we also see, even like with the builders building the tabernacle, we have a lot of people that put a lot of work into decorating for Bible school. And they're offering their creative gifts to make a place that people, that kids can come and hear about God, and it's immersive, and they are able to it just helps them to take in the gospel better. And another person I just wanted to point out as well that gives an artistic touch to the church is Tanya. She does the decorations, and that's just something that does make the church a more welcoming and warm place for us to come. So the next place that we see in Scripture that God gifts and calls his people to offer their creativity to him is in communication. Now God, he gifts people as teachers and speakers to build up his body. Jesus was very creative in how he communicated with people. We see that he approached different crowds or different audiences with different ways of communicating with them. He often made up stories or parables in order to teach a spiritual truth. He was a captivating speaker such that he drew crowds that would gather together to hear his teaching. Also, we see the prophets in the Old Testament, I feel like they were very creative communicators. And we see that they would often use object lessons or bizarre things to get a message across to God's people. And I feel like one of the ones that just is like the most like bizarre to me is if you read like Ezekiel 4. And in this passage, God has a message for Israel, and he gets Ezekiel to do a few things to kind of hammer the message across to people so that they'll pay attention and wake up. He gets Ezekiel to make a model replica of Jerusalem out of like clay. And then he gets Ezekiel to lie on his side in the street for over a year. And then he gets him to cook bread over top of a fire that is lit by cow manure so that to get people's attention, to communicate the message that God has to his people. Now, there are many ways that our world uses creative communication in a way that is dishonoring to God, where we see people deceiving others or manipulating them for personal gain. Or think about kids being creative and making up names to bully people. Like, people use creativity to communicate things in a negative way that is sinful and building yourself. But that doesn't mean that creative communication is a bad thing. God has given us our creativity to serve him, to give back to him, to build up his church and his kingdom. And our church is blessed with so many preachers and teachers that are creatively communicating his word to his people. And we, with the Gifts Discernment Committee, we're kind of looking at all of the people that are serving our church. And there's so many teachers, whether it's Bible school or Sunday school or Wednesday night, that are using their abilities to communicate to build up God's church, to serve him. And that's something that glorifies God when we are able to do that. And also, I just think of just like a parent who is telling their kid a story, a Bible story at night. And that's something that takes creative communication to do that. Because you can just like sit there and read the story in a monotone voice, and they're not really going to pay attention. That's not going to keep a kid's attention. But if you're reading the story and you give the characters different voices, or you might act out different parts, or the story has like pictures in it, you can bring the story to life in a way that captivates their minds and that really makes the story come to life for them. And this is how we can communicate in a way that's creative, that is glorifying the Lord. Now, the final place today that we're going to be seeing how God gifts his people with creativity in Scripture is in creative leadership and problem solving. Now, in Scripture, we see many examples and places where people are in situations or there's a leader and they have to make decisions, and it might look like there's no way out of it. It looks like they're out of options, but God would give them a creative way to get through that situation or to answer that question or solve that problem. One of the examples that I think of is the story of Gideon in Judges, where he's going up against an enemy army, and God keeps telling him to narrow down his forces to the point where he has 300 men going against a giant army. And they don't just go attack him in a frontal assault, but they take torches and hide them under jars, and they get trumpets, and they go and startle the enemy, and the enemy ends up going into confusion and defeating themselves. So he has a creative solution to lead his people. Another place I see it is when Paul is in a city and he's under persecution. He escapes by being lowered out of a window in a basket. And that might be something that's like, where do you get that idea from? But God gives us the ability to create. He gives us the ability to see a problem and look for possible solutions to it. And he can give us solutions sometimes that we might not even be able to think of on our own. And we see Jesus, they're faced with the impossible situation where they have a crowd of thousands of people and they don't have any food. And Jesus says, and they end up feeding the whole crowd with a boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So in leadership, it takes creativity to see problems and seek the Lord for solutions in a way that is glorifying to him. And that problem solving isn't something that's just for leadership, but it's for anyone in the church. Like, you're going to be faced with problems. I think of growing up on a farm, Thomas knows this, that if your tractor breaks down somewhere, you can usually find a way to get it back to the shop if you're creative enough. Like, you're able to find creative solutions to problems that you have. God has just intentionally brought those groups of people together and brought each of us with those gifts there, and to see how God is just leading that group and really unfolding to our church the way that, like the direction that he wants us to go, so that each person in the church can offer their gifts and it's building towards the vision. And that's the thing, is that it's not just the vision implementation team that is using that creative problem solving, but we've had people in the church come to the vision team and be like, I feel God leading me to offer this one thing or another in order to work towards the vision. that's beautiful when the church can work together in that way. So today we've seen how God has created you with creativity in so many places, in trades, in art, in communication, and in leadership. But this brings us to the question, how can we as a church walk this out in our lives? And the first way that we can do that is that we can stop using our creativity for evil. Because we've seen that creativity and the things that God's given us, they can be turned for evil when we use them for our own selfish ends. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So if you have been using your creativity to serve yourself or build up your own kingdom at the expense of God or at the expense of others, you can turn away from that and use your gifts for good. Now, the gospel, the good news says that we cannot please God if we're apart from Christ. That without Jesus' forgiveness, you cannot have a right relationship with God. That every person has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. And because of your sin, you have been separated from God. But God loved you so much that even while you were his enemy, even while you were still a sinner, he came and he died for you. And he took the punishment that you deserve for your evil. And he died on the cross, but he rose again on the third day. And in that, he defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death. And you can have your relationship with God restored through Jesus. And you can be brought back to life spiritually. You can be free from the power and the penalty of sin. If you believe in Jesus in faith, making him the king of your life. So as the church, the second way that we can walk this out is by seeking God for our inspiration, for our creativity. Our creativity without God's guidance, without God leading it, will be used for evil. But when it's placed in submission to God and his word, it can be a great force for good. And we live in a world that is increasingly turning to AI for creativity. When people have a question, they go and they ask ChatGPT. Or if you want a picture, you can go and you can get AI to make a picture for you. Or AI is just a really big threat to creatives in our culture because it seems like it's going to take everyone's jobs, right? But the thing is that AI cannot replace a human heart. It cannot replace a human soul. AI does not have the image of God, and it's not going to be able to create something in a way that humans can. So we can go to God for that inspiration. The most inspired things are made in the service of God. So when you have a decision, you can pray about it. You can start with, and when you have a challenge, you can ask God for an answer. And his word is a good place to start with discerning his will. And the better that we know his word, the better that we will know his character that he has revealed there. God has placed us here in this church. He's called us to reach single parent families and families with grandparents raising their grandchildren. So how is God calling you to offer your unique gifts in a way that is in line with the vision he's given us as a church? You are a part of God's church, and you have a place here to use your creativity for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So church, let us be working and offering God our gifts in the places that he has put us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you just have given us your word. God, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for creating the world around us. We see your beauty, your majesty in it, God. We thank you for giving us the ability to make decisions, God, to create from the things that you have given us, God. We pray that you will help us to be looking to you, God, for that inspiration, that you will be helping us to use that gift that you have given us for good, to glorify you, to build up your church. God, we pray that you will just be leading and guiding our church, God, that you'd be blessing the leadership, that you'll be helping us to be hearing from you, God, and following you in faith. God, we pray for each part of our church, God. We thank you for every single person that you have placed here. We pray that you will be helping each one of us to be walking out the calling that you have given to us. We just offer ourselves to you as your servants, as just a lump of clay, God, to form however you would. We thank you for just your beauty and your intentionality and how you made us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.